Welcome, After Buzzers. You are watching the after show for House of Cards, chapters 55 and 56. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, guys. Here we are. We are the after show for House of Cards. Finally, we're here at episodes 3 and 4. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong. Can they find you?
Hi, After Buzzers. My name is Louisa Sharamatian. You can find me on Instagram at Nobody Reads Anymore and on Twitter at Nobody Reads.
Hi, guys. I'm Taylor Gates. You can find me on Twitter at @Alphabet_Ann and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
And I am Kevin Ellis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @TheKevinEllis.
Well, thank you guys for being here. Thank you, Taylor, for finally getting to join the panel.
I'm so sad I missed last week.
We got a full panel.
And your sweater is amazing.
Yes. I love it. Yeah, can we see that?
I love it.
Hopefully we're on the winning side. At least I'm hoping we're on the winning side.
Yeah,
this was...
Do we?
Yeah.
Do we hope?
Yeah.
Well,
all intense. 2016. We have, like, what, every 4 years now? We reveal, they got some big plans.
Yeah.
I love this episode. We really start off with that great hero ad from Polly Hop. Not from Polly Hop, from the pack, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really touting his accomplishments. And then this whole live stream idea. What did you guys think about a presidential candidate the day before deciding, I'll be up for 24 hours answering the public's questions?
I think it was a symbol for Frank, as in, I'm so young, I'm healthy, I can do this, I can stay up all night, but you're older, you've had a liver transplant, I want America to see that they can trust on me.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I got out of it.
I think that the show's just so great about incorporating, like, what really is happening in the world, mm-hmm. like, with the social media and everything like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, it's just, like, a realistic ad, you know? It's, like, something you could actually turn on your TV and see. And it also kind of reminded me of, like, Claire's interview back in, like, season 2 with mm-hmm. the whole, like, getting blindsided by questions and things like that.
Yeah.
I think what the whole Polly Hop live stream really showed is the true generational gap between Frank Underwood and Will Conway mm-hmm. and how the two of them handle each of their campaigns in a totally different way.
Yeah.
And we see Claire and Tom discuss that in the car when Claire got kind of hurt and said, are you calling Frank old?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was hilarious.
He's modern. He's modern.
Modern.
Yeah. Like, what are you calling Frank then, right? I love the toss-ups that were being thrown because they weren't really vetting these questions, which is a little bizarre. Like, you usually, like, even radio stations kind of vet the questions.
Yeah.
So they had some curveballs. What did y'all think of the Squire brothers calling in to...
Obviously, it was planted.
Yeah.
But the Squires brothers, they didn't really do what Leanne wanted them to do. The goal was to kind of call him out. Because now we see Kanye is kind of... Conway is hiding something. Conway is kind of hiding something. That's what I'm getting from it. But they didn't do the job well. That's what I got from it.
Yeah.
What was really interesting is that they kept on implying that there was going to be this reveal that Conway was hiding something. It never happened in these two episodes, and I can't imagine it's going to happen in the upcoming episodes as well, because I think it would have already happened.
Which is upsetting me, but it looks like he's wrestling with something huge.
Yeah.
I'm like, what could it possibly be, right?
The wife knows, too.
And the wife said that he's quite humble. You know that she is also pretty good at her own political game.
Oh, yeah.
I have to think that these two, or at least something about the story, clearly was false.
It's
at least it was fabricated in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and who is Mark Usher, that man that came in? That PR man, who is he? Did we kind of find out? Is he someone?
I think he's kind of like a Steve Bannon. He's a strategist and somebody who's really going to help with the electorate and kind of grasping those electoral votes.
That's what he was.
And what did you think about that late night phone call from the man himself?
I wish he didn't do it.
Really? Why?
Oh, I loved it.
I don't want to say he stooped low. I just feel like let him wait and see what happens and then. But, you know, Frank is on to something, so he knows exactly what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how Claire kind of sneaked back into his bedroom and went to his side. So, but in my opinion, I don't think he should have done it. But I'm sure you, you know.
I loved it. Like, he's so theatrical. Like, he always has to be in the spotlight. Like, and he just, like, steals, like, his final live stream moment away from him.
Because that, exactly. He took the conversation away from the fact that Will was doing this very millennial thing, and it's like, well, Frank, he's still the one with the true grit.
Yeah,
that's still going to show up, Will, when they go at it like head on head.
Yeah, and he basically pushed forth his narrative of, oh, we didn't have you do anything more because you were weak. Mm-hmm. That's why we didn't have you continue on.
Right.
I thought that was pretty brilliant. We definitely saw more layers, I think, to Frank and Claire's relationship.
Okay.
Especially when we see, like, Frank watching her and Tom sleep in the bed. I thought that was
so
interesting.
Awkward. I was like, and Claire saying, yeah, he hums in his sleep.
Yeah. What did you guys make of that? Because they do seem to be getting closer.
Clearly. I think that interaction in and of itself, and how Claire did want to leave the room. She wanted to go make something for Frank because he hadn't eaten. He was a little, you know, he's still like, no, this is your relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, stay where you are. Mm-hmm. I'll take care of things. But the fact that, you know, what you mentioned, her sneaking back into her or his bedroom, you know, it shows this intimacy that is, you know, compounding, and it's becoming bigger and bigger, and the snowball is going to turn into something, and we've already predicted that I think Tom is going to be out the door pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we also see a tradition that they have on Election Day, watching that amazing classic film, Double Indemnity, a film noir by Billy Wilder. And I think I think the writers chose that film because that film is so dark and so pessimistic, kind of like The Underwoods. Yeah. But it shows how they have this complex connection, reciting the lines along with the movie. I thought that was so beautifully shot.
Yeah, it was a moment that kind of gave them a little bit more humanity in some ways. Though Double Indemnity is this whole story about someone who kills their husband for the insurance money, and the two conspirators, and like one dies at the end. So it's kind of like, where is this headed for Frank and Claire? If that was, because, you know, the writers here are so good at kind of putting little things that are give you some prescience to what's going to happen later.
Oh, of course. Even at the end of the first episode the beginning of the second episode when we see the end.
Yeah.
That was kind of a symbol, maybe. Are the political power of them, is it decreasing? Is it going to be, you know, diminished? So.
That was the thought. That was the tease.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily play out that way because the you know, they're just too good of characters.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all knew full well that this was one of those episodes that was either going to show their total downfall or really show their how strong and victorious they are. And clearly, I mean, there's no way that they would get out of this whole mess without winning the White House again, because that'd be no fun.
Yeah, exactly, right? Or at least we hope we get that payoff, right?
That's for once I want to see what happens if they don't get what they want. You know, I just want to see how that was.
Well, I mean, I feel like they're on the ropes now. So we've got this whole Muhammad Kalabi thing.
Yeah.
So we get this Muhammad Kalabi. There's a couple a couple Muhammad Kalabis in the United States. We're going to focus on one of them. And they're kind of, they want to close these polling centers and create these voting centers. What do you guys think about this whole narrative?
Well, I think as we discussed before the show, it was very peculiar in how this whole mess was shaped out to be like voter suppression, and yet also they're confused about a lack of voter turnout.
Yeah.
It was very confusing. I don't know, those in the chat room, if you would like to also contribute your thoughts to this, because it confused us. We're thinking, okay, well, why are they so ticked off by a lack of voter turnout?
When you purposely decide to suppress the vote by creating voting centers and closing polling places.
Right, and what I was at least bringing to the table before is that I think, in general, they were trying to suppress certain counties that they knew were more Conway-leaning, and they wanted to suppress those counties in particular. But I think voter turnout just across the board was really low, and so they needed to do something about it.
Well, they ended up closing three Republican polls, right? Three heavy Republican polls.
Yeah, they closed them completely.
Right. Okay.
But, yeah, I'm confused and angry about the whole narrative, because then they're Democrats, and voter suppression really, you know, doesn't help Democrats. So I'm hoping some of that's explained as we go on.
Yeah.
I think one of the really cool things, I don't know if you guys felt the same tension, but when Frank was drinking the honey throughout the entire episode, every single time I saw him do it, I'm thinking, dear God, what are we going to see? Is he going to faint? Is something going to happen catastrophic to him right before Election Day that's going to come into question his health? And I'm thinking, wow, this is a great way to build tension throughout this episode. And then there was no payoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was so flabbergasted by
I mean,
that.
Even him losing his voice, I think that's a symbol. Is he losing his political power?
Yeah.
If you
yeah.
kind of tied the two together.
Interesting analogy.
And
okay.
The fact that Claire's like, oh, let me make the speech. Like, she's still so hungry for
yes.
it.
Yeah.
And, like, that was just so obvious. And, like, oh, I'll
yeah.
do it. Like,
he's like, can
fine.
You finish?
Yeah.
And you have to finish it properly, Claire.
There almost was that obvious Clintonian parallel, because Hillary Clinton would seem to be, you know, a little sick, coughing. I wonder if they drew from that for that storyline with the honey and the tea.
Yeah.
So we have yeah. some input from the Something Something cast, and
yes.
he said, I think the lack of turnout made them ramp up the voting center issue more self-fulfilling. And then Cameron Boyd tuned in. He said, Tom is starting to pull away from Claire in some way. He talks about the relationship. And Claire just shuts down and is all about business, but she isn't that way with Frank.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't think Tom is pulling away. I think Tom is almost
yeah.
full steam ahead. He wants to go to Maine. He wants to, you know.
He
just,
wants to go to a broken old cabin that the windows don't work.
And
you're
and,
not 20.
Yeah, and Claire just seems like, have you lost your mind?
What did you think about that sign, how he wrote on the back of the paper?
There's
still
time.
Yeah.
What did yeah. What did you guys think about that?
It was tough to make out exactly what he meant. I don't know if you guys had the same problem. I'm thinking, all right, does he want her to almost torch this election in some
yeah.
sort of way?
Yeah.
That was my only thought, because I mean, what does he have to gain by Frank actually winning?
Well, I think he really was saying there's still time for you to, like, live your life and be
That's
happy.
That's how I got it, yeah.
And so, but also he wanted to have the double entendre of, just in case she's really not about it, oh, the speech, yeah, there's a victory speech in there, too. There's still time for you to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it gave him an out by being a little bit vague.
There's still time to live your life. There's still time for me, isn't
yeah,
that? Yeah,
yeah, for you to leave okay. Frank. You're still young. But remember, Claire tells him earlier, like, I'm not that much younger
mm-hmm.
than Frank.
Yeah.
So what are you saying? You know, like, I thought it was pretty interesting. And we can't go without mentioning Doug. And Doug is going through some stuff, right?
Okay, so first of all, I was right. The widow, transplant widow came back.
She did.
Yeah.
Her name is Laura Moretti.
Yeah.
So I guess they've been having whatever that they're doing together. Yeah. But clearly, Doug is mentally checked out. And
one is showing up and one is not.
Yeah. So he goes to a bar and yeah. he orders his drink and he doesn't drink it and he leaves. What did you think about that?
I was so excited. I was so excited for him. What did you think, Taylor?
I was excited about that, too. And I thought it was interesting how he was, like, buying rounds for
yeah,
everybody,
why
he's
yeah.
just, like, throwing money. I'm like, Doug, yeah. what? Like, what is your, like, breakdown?
Well,
why are you throwing money everywhere?
I get that because, you know, as someone who's dieted a lot for different things,
yes,
you know, sometimes you want to look at the cupcakes and, like, give them to other people and,
yeah.
and like, get your satisfaction from that. So maybe he's yeah. like, okay, they're drinking. It's good. I can walk away now.
I mean, Leanne is not safe with... No, Leanne and Doug... Doug is not safe with brunettes. Come on. I feel like there's something there. I feel it. Tune in, cast. I mean, YouTubers, let us know if you think there's going to be something between Doug and Leanne.
Oh, interesting.
I do.
Yeah.
I do, too, because I feel like Leanne is almost Claire's Doug. And so it would
exactly.
make sense that they, like...
Right.
You know,
yep.
like
I
you understand.
Each other.
I mm-hmm. would be devastated and appalled. I mean, Leanne just seems smart. She seems like smart. Period. Like a normal smart individual.
Yeah.
I would be a little shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if Doug tried to come on to her though.
Oh, and he will.
But I would be shocked if she ever entertained those advances.
And how funny was that one scene when Leanne actually thinks Doug is a human and says, "Do you ever get deja vu?" Doug's like, "I don't get deja vu. I'm an alien. I'm not human."
he's just not emotionally available. I don't think Leanne is quite in that same realm of, I don't want to say dysfunction, but he has his own goals, and I think
yeah.
that was really shown
yeah.
when Doug went on into the Oval Office after being told off by Governor Matthews
yes.
saying,
yeah.
you will become obsolete, and really, that was his self-realization, knowing if Frank doesn't win this election... I have no purpose in life,
yeah.
which is a terrifying thought for Doug Stamper.
Because you go from the most important
mm-hmm.
person or around the most important person, then all of a sudden it's just zero. It's like every
yeah.
election, I guess.
And he has all this baggage. That, like, what's he going to do with it? Like,
mm-hmm.
he just has all these secrets. Like, he can never tell anyone, like, the stuff that, like, he and
yeah.
has done.
And,
like,
and that comes down to the conversation that Frank had with Leanne on the phone. And when Leanne said, "Are you questioning my loyalty?" And Frank said... I know everything about Doug, but I don't know anything about you, basically.
Yeah.
And I think Doug will do everything for Frank.
Yeah.
You know, we know that, so.
And I was a little surprised by his almost, defeated moment. I was a little surprised that he walked into the Oval Office and really took it upon himself to etch his initials into the Resolute desk. I was surprised by that, but I also think I was super proud of him for actually turning down the drink, and I felt like it was inevitable, but I was still like, because he's, apart from Frank, he's my favorite character. My heart was just pounding for the guy because, you know, we've seen him fall.
We know what happens when he falls, yeah.
And it's bad, and we don't need that on election day.
And then we, so now we have 56 comes through, and the Conways are celebrating. First of all, 24 hours, you're up. Do you really have time to go celebrate for sex and, like, you know, have the celebratory?
They jinx themselves by having sex.
Yeah, I
they
thought that was a big jinx. Yeah. And do you really have that energy and stamina? You probably want a good nap. But I didn't know if that was too believable for me.
It was too much.
Hannah's all about jinxing the whole thing.
Yeah.
She's taken more steps than she should. And she's literally said, like, oh, you're going to be the next president. And Conway is just right off the bat. He's just like, no, don't say that.
Yeah. Well, we get Frank calling to concede, too. That was a brilliantly interesting moment.
Love that.
Where I felt like he's really manipulating the situation, but I'm not quite sure how. What do you guys think about that kind of mind play?
He's having fun with it. He knows he's going to win. They're going to pull off some stuff, as we see. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to be the bigger person and congratulate the future president.
And he's also trying to show this, or at least display this public relations aura of not being corrupt. Mm-hmm. He's trying to play the whole media into thinking, no, I had nothing to do with this. I thought I was going to lose.
Clearly.
Then all of a sudden, this happened. Just, I'm not going to say no. Like,
and right before he dials, he looks into the audience and says, do you think I learned nothing from Al Gore?
That's why I love how they, like, hilarious. Break that fourth wall just, like, every so often. Like, just enough to, like,
it's so raw. We see how ruthless he is when he looks into our eyes. Perfect monologues.
And you know who's one of my favorite characters we don't see enough is Kathy. Because Kathy is, like, reluctantly on board, but she's on board. She's like, well, this is what it's going to be. And she comes up to Frank with the Kalabi stuff, and we know we get that raid in Tennessee. How do you guys think that play, like, how did you guys feel about that playing out with the raid in Tennessee and the voting centers?
I think that it is the one thing that can really screw Frank. I think that so many things have happened now that Kathy knows about that she's going to set the whole White House on fire, I feel like, because I feel like she's the only person that can really truly do it, because she's got the inside knowledge. Mm-hmm. She's been there from the beginning, and now she has a feeling that he's, you know, created this corrupt election. Mm-hmm. I mean,
she's sort of on board with it, right?
It's not that she's on board with it. I think she's in such a state of fear. I don't know. What about you two ladies? What do you think? When you hear Kathy speak to Frank, do you get the sense of, and I know we felt it last season when he literally threatened to kill her in the Oval Office.
I think I want Kathy to retire already. That's
what?
How I see it.
I love Kathy.
I think her work is done. But I also think Frank has her exactly where he wants her. So does Doug. I mean, if we go back to fourth season with her running for, you know, vice president, the way they just, you know, they just messed up everything for her. I think it's her time to leave. It's always going to be corrupt with the Underwoods. We know that.
Well, right. But, I mean, we have to go under the theory that at some point in time that, story-wise, we're looking at it, if we're the writers, at some point in time, Claire is going to have to ascend to the presidency. I would think that.
Yeah.
For that to happen, Frank has to get tossed out in some way, shape, or form. I have to imagine that in order for that to happen, I mean, Kathy has to play a role. Mm-hmm. So I don't see her disappearing.
Yeah, or we get 8 years of Frank and 8 years of Claire.
I mean, and that's totally possible, too.
Clearly,
totally
the way they've been speaking, I feel like they want to just abolish term limits.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, that's evident. That's
With that closing 2012, 2016. Yeah. I love that scene.
And I guess technically they would have 16 years to figure it out. So
the
be,
monarchy that they want to create,
God, and do you have to just be, like, feeling so proud of yourself if you're the writer that came up with One Nation Underwood?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
God. He's like, hey, check
amazing.
Plus.
Amazing. Yeah. Shout out to that.
Pay raise, please.
Yeah, right. And then we have Tom and Sean. The investigative
writer.
Duo.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom is at that victory, or he's at the party, and what did he say? He's like, every time I've been to a party, I always pick the loser's party, and I'm here tonight.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about his, 'cause I can't wait for... I'm hoping they win and that he's given some little comeuppance. Because I really didn't like the way he was so sort of braggadocious about getting the Underwoods down.
I'm just, like, honestly, I'm just surprised that Tom is still alive. Like, because all the other journalists have been picked off. Like,
yeah.
I feel like his time is coming. Like, he cannot be alive much longer, like, with everything he knows and is trying to do.
If he gets any closer, for sure.
And Seth even knows everything that he's up to. I'm surprised that they haven't killed him yet. Oh, yeah.
Me too. I think it's a really public thing to do. I mean, I would be very shocked if he knocked off somebody as...
Prominent establishment, yeah. Because he's been in the news. He's a little Charlie Rose. It would be very suspicious if he died.
Totally.
I don't know. He just, like, Zoe was gone. Like, I just feel like he's next.
Yeah, actually, they really set the tone when Zoe was gone. And so now we know Pennsylvania and Ohio are in play. Mm-hmm. It comes down to those two. It always comes down to Pennsylvania and Ohio in real life, too, right? It seems. So they're getting these polls shut down. What do you think the effect is going to be?
In general, just the effect of the election. I mean, I feel like Frank and Claire are going to end up winning. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out as far as time-wise.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a couple of days, couple of weeks? Is this going to go to the Supreme Court? Is there going to be a long legal battle? All these things are possible at this point.
Yeah, because a few states, with six states, are not certifying the results.
Mm-hmm. Like, even Idaho, there's conservative states. I think it was even, Hawaii was on the list.
I love that, because they're just like, was that one of ours?
Yes.
It's just a little bonus state.
Yeah.
And then the state curfew that they announced.
Yeah.
And then Aiden and Doug and the NSA scene. Oh, my God. So intense with the call that they had to record.
Yeah.
Brilliant, Doug.
And how do you think that they had facilitated the terrorist attack in general? Because clearly that had to have been planted. That wasn't something that was... So, I mean, was it total FBI working that whole thing? I mean, said 12 people went to the hospital, but what actually took place?
Yeah, and I don't know how you, like, mimic the terrorist chatter exactly, but... that Aiden was able to duplicate what was terrorist chatter, so Doug could use that.
So dicey.
I know. And then the FBI director talking about the bombs and the dogs sit if there's a bomb. Bark.
Yeah.
No, they don't bark when there's a bomb, right?
Right.
And
don't
then bark. Frank is so into it, looking into the audience, like, trying to calm them down, but everything is planned out exactly how he wants it, so...
It was so interesting. And then when I think about Double Indemnity,
because
I remember the DNC woman comes up to Claire and says to her, hey, look, 4 years, mm-hmm. public trust you, they might want you to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go back and look at Wikipedia to find out the plot of Double Indemnity. And I, like I mentioned earlier, so she tries to kill the lover, and she ends up not. She says, you know, I can't do it.
Mm.
And then he ends up killing her. So I wonder if Claire's going to make a play for the presidency at some point and not be able to finish, but Frank is going to just not have it.
Yeah.
So we might as well go into predictions from that. And what are you guys thinking for the next two episodes?
All right.
Wait, hold on. Do we get the predictions music? Don't we have that?
Predictions music!
Predictions! We'll just do it on our own.
Predictions. Wow. I mean, I have to feel that... at least in the next two episodes, I feel like the election will be resolved. I don't think that they're going to draw out the election itself much longer because they want to get into the drama of the aftermath. Mm-hmm. They want to get, like, Will Conway really pissed off. I mean, though he's going to be really powerless, I mean, all of these things are going to start churning where they've left so many loose ends. Aiden is terrified mm-hmm. that he has left not only the hacking from the last week all... you know, up in the air, but he's also got this problem now where he's leaked this fake classified information about this terrorist.
Aiden's got to take a trip to a remote island and stay there for a while.
Seriously. He is scared.
I don't know. I feel like the election might be drawn out a little bit longer just because they do want the drama of, like, because the mm-hmm. Conways are such, like, they're characters that I feel like we still don't know very much about, and mm-hmm. I feel like maybe their secrets will kind of come out and there will be, like, more of this back and forth. So I feel like we might see maybe a little bit more of the election before it gets resolved. Like, I feel like it's so messy. Like, it's just going to keep getting messier. Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, is there a possibility of any sort of revote? I mean...
Revote?
Is that even possible in the U.S. general election? I mean,
I can
it's a TV show, so I don't know how far they're going to go.
Extending the vote, maybe, but I would be shocked. If, like, you know, people who haven't voted can still vote till Thursday. You
sure.
Know? But I would be surprised if it was a re-vote.
I mean, I would be surprised too. Don't get me wrong. I'm just thinking, like, there's so much unknown in this situation. And go ahead.
So I'm, with Taylor. I think it's gonna be drawn out. And also, I wanna see what Conway's secret is. So my prediction is that the situation, the things that happen at the war zone, is probably gonna be played out more. We're gonna see what he's hiding and why he's so scared. And now the public also feels like he has something hiding. So that's my target. It's the Conways.
Mm-hmm. How does that change the election, though? Because that's what I don't see. Is that okay? So we find out. Doesn't matter.
If there's an extension, if there's a couple more days to vote and it comes out in those few days, but there has to be a payoff. At the very least, we have to find out what it is, and I think the audience will find out what he's hiding at before the season's over. What impact it will have on the election, I don't know, but there's no way they're going to just let that sleeping dog lie. There's no way. He's personally in turmoil. We have to know.
Right.
And I think there's a plan that we're not quite seeing from Claire and Frank. Because for me, a lot of this doesn't make sense. You want low voter turnout, then you're upset when it is low, and now you're doing other things, like to close voting centers. I'm not quite getting the grand plan, but Claire delivers that line. You realize we have every intention of winning today. So that means to me there's a plan that only those two are privy to. Yeah.
But also Frank did say during the finale of that episode that I can't save you if something goes wrong. What did you think about that? What is he trying to say?
Well, I think whatever that secret plan is,
it leaves
them both in the cold. Like, if it's ever discovered, they're both screwed.
Yeah, they're both exposed.
Yeah.
That's true. Because then if he... Yes, as I was saying earlier, if he is impeached or has to resign and she has to go with him, then they're both screwed.
Exactly.
And we have a prediction from Cameron Boyd. Huh? Frank and Claire are going to win and... Period. Frank says, this house is ours. We are not leaving. So with that being said, the Underwoods are going to win it. One Nation, Underwood, period. That's my prediction.
I do predict they're going to win it, but I'm wondering, like, what's that shaky path to winning? Yeah. And, like, what other secrets will they have as a result? And then we'll see how that plays out.
Sure.
But I definitely want that moment where he hits the desk again. Yeah. It's like, that was such an iconic moment, right?
That's good.
Any Doug Leanne predictions?
I want, not Doug Leanne, but I want Laura to come back to Doug, and I want a relationship to form. I know he's a lone wolf, whatever, I've heard it, but still. And I told you she was going to come back, and
so
she
You might be right on
but
that.
But also,
one.
Leanne, be careful, please, don't sleep with Doug. Please, please.
Nothing good happens when you sleep with Doug.
Okay. You think those two are going to get together? Do you guys think those two are going to get together?
Doug and Leanne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do?
I just feel it. You know, I just sense
it. As a woman, you just know.
They're
just thing, you know?
Same for you?
I don't know. I'm not sold
on it. I do
the two men are not sold.
Yeah.
The two women are sold.
I do see Doug hitting on Leanne. Leanne's like, not... Cause what did she say? She even said, like, Doug's skill set's not useful here. So she really does see Doug as something separate and apart from her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
And so I'm very skeptical that those two would ever, like, line up.
Doug's skills are looking at alcohol and not drinking.
Well, you know, we might be a player. We might see Doug step up to the plate. I think that's it.
Do
you guys have any
so
predictions?
Hard. Yeah. It's just hard not to watch.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Binge watch. So all the viewers out there, you probably know what's happening.
Yeah.
We don't. So bear with us.
And we're doing this for you guys. So for you guys, you're not watching the rest of the
episodes.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Torturing us here.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and, like, every episode ends on, like, such a great line. Perfect. And, like,
and you're just like,
it's perfection. It's
amazing. I'm excited for episode 5 because then I can watch 6.
Yeah.
And that is something really phenomenal about this TV show. It's so well written for an episodic format where this would do fantastic on broadcast TV because you would have that hook every single week.
Every week.
To think what the ratings would be if they actually were on broadcast, it would be very impressive.
Yeah.
But it is just so well built.
Yeah, and I do actually hope, I'm hoping we see Remy come back.
Remy and Jackie together, or just Remy?
Back.
Okay.
Yeah, because they've been talking about them, and I hope we see them come back. And I love Mahershala Ali. He's just an awesome, incredible
Moonlight
actor.
Was one of my favorite
films. Hidden Figures and Moonlight just came off of that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if, like, they can get Mahershala to actually do any kind of guest star role, because I'm sure he's busy as hell
so
right now
with
features, even. I feel like this is something you're going back to.
Oh, yeah.
And this, I almost feel like it put him on a map in a way he just wasn't before.
So this is,
he must have a soft spot, so bring him back.
And he's got a relationship with Netflix, because he was on Luke Cage, too. He's phenomenal in that.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, he is.
Well, guys, we're so glad you joined us. We'll be back next week, Wednesday at, what, 8 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
Live. We'll be back here, guys. Thank you for joining us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.